glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, August 15th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and today we get to know Kirk Smith, the director of the Illinois Christian Home Educators. Welcome, Kirk, to Mark and Friends.
Thanks so much, Donna. It's good to be with you again.
I had the blessing of meeting Kirk a few years ago. We were homeschooling our children, and you know, Kirk, we really benefited from Aichi's conference. Now, Aichi, I'm going to just use those little letters because that's what we affectionately call Illinois Christian Home Educators, so we don't have to say the entire title all the time.
Sure.
So, Aichi, my friends, if you hear that, that's what we're talking about. But that's a very impactful conference. How many people attend that?
Well, this year we were at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais, Illinois, by Kankakee, and we had over 2,000 this year. We are starting to build back up from COVID, like everyone else that affected us. But this was the first year in the last 3 or 4 years we've actually been over 2,000, had a great, great speaker lineup. We had Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis and Martin Isle, who's slated to take over for him. Kevin Swanson, of course, Israel Wayne, a dear friend of ICHE, Jim Mason, who is the president of HSLDA, just had an absolute wonderful, wonderful conference.
One thing I love about that conference is that not only hanging out with other like-minded believers and homeschoolers, but you also have this fantastic resource room where you can come and touch the material and open it up and see it before you purchase. And I think that's a great benefit to homeschooling families.
Yes, you just revealed your age right there, Donna.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is one thing to see it on a website, but to interact with the vendors, to look through the pages, I agree. It's like having the Bible on iPhone. We're glad to have it on our smartphones, but there's something about touching those pages and hearing the rustling that really touches my heart especially.
That's true. Smelling the fresh ink, you know, that's just, oh, it's every homeschool mom's, you know, fall experience, fresh leaves and fresh ink. Those two just so go together.
It should be a new perfume, Donna.
It should. And then, of course, the smell of old books smells wonderful. You do conferences through Illinois Christian Home Educators, but also we've enjoyed some other aspects of it. Tell us about it.
Well, we try to minister to the whole family, Donna. If we start in January, I do a marriage retreat. Last year, we actually had it on the shores of Lake Michigan. It was we got like 8 inches of snow that night. It was just a great time to be together. Also in January, we do a women's retreat. This year is going to be Zan Tyler, one of my favorite ladies. She's out of South Carolina, a real Southern belle. She'll be speaking in January. That is in Carroll Stream, Illinois. And again, sometimes we do a second marriage retreat in February. And of course, one of our biggest responsibilities to homeschoolers in the state of Illinois is our legislative task force and our outreach there to the Capitol. That's Cherry Pie Day, and that's usually in late March or April. And we go to the Capitol and we take cherry pies there to interact with the officials, because there's always, we're only one signature away from bad laws. And maybe we can talk about that later on, because there's some negative talk going on now. Our conference, again, as you said, is in the first week in June. And what we've done, Donna, we have unique facilities at ONU, and we've made it in kind of a family camp. Families are now taking their vacation for that weekend. There's a four-story climbing wall. There's a lazy river. There's a planetarium. There's volleyball games at night. There's a game room. And so it's just really a great family time. And we're really excited about that, because we want to reach out to the next generation of homeschooling families. And that takes us into August. Here I'm in my farm in Southern Illinois. And we have a soil day. We'll have between 100 and 300 people here at our house, and we'll just have a great family time as well. September is our family camp, and that's just across the border at East Troy, Wisconsin. And we'll have 500-600 people come out for that. And then that takes us into October, which is the father-son camp. Although ICHE does not put that on, we really help promote that. It's one of the greatest events if you're a father and a son. It's just a wonderful time to hear 400 to 500 men singing at the top of their lungs. We always have Norm Wakefield. I'm sure you remember Norm.
Oh, yeah.
And Donna. We also have another speaker there as well. So that's a great time. Then we end up the year in November with an Equip series, which is especially geared for young adults ages 14, 15 on up to mid-20s, even 30. And this year, Israel Wayne will be there speaking with me.
Wow, that is a full year, Kirk. Wow.
It is, and it's a great time to, and Donna, what you said, it's so good. It's not just about the content, because you can get some of that online, but some things are not just taught, they're caught. Yeah. And I think you can agree with me, especially for our conference, it's one thing to hear it online, and that's great, but we can be there, and you can interact with other families, you see other kids. The first conference, like you said, it just captured our hearts. Mm. I was serious about my faith. I was a pastor, but we went to our first conference in 1999. Back then, like you said, it was at Naperville. I meant God did a work of grace, and that was the genesis, and it still goes on to this very day. We are so grateful for that, but you get around like-minded people, and you can see people who are doing the same things you are, and that's just really encouraging, especially for our children.
And I just came away going, I'm not crazy. I'm not losing it. This is normal, you know, and you just feel so normal as opposed to sometimes how the world wants to make you feel, who just don't understand homeschooling and the vision behind it. Something else I love about ICHE is that they support local groups. You've, you know, got lists of different groups that people can interact with in different locales all over the state of Illinois. And, you know, you've come up and you've been a speaker at some of our events and in the different homeschool groups I was a part of. So you're open to that.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, that's what we want to do. We want to be a resource to smaller groups who are on the front lines. We were just at Winnetka, Illinois, which is on the North Shore, north of Skokie in Chicagoland. And we had about 30 leaders there this weekend, and we're just wanting to serve them. We're talking about doing maybe a one-day event on the south side of Chicago, because we want to really reach out to the minority community, because they're really, of all the communities that are growing the fastest with homeschooling, it's in the African-American community and in the Latino community. And so we're wanting to bless those people. We have great friends across the state. We have Patch, which is in Peoria, Illinois. They serve a big section as well. We are one big united group. And that's the goal of ICHE, to bring all homeschoolers together. I serve on the ad hoc committee for home education, legal and legislative matters. That's a mouthful. And I serve on that with some non-sectarian groups, some Catholic groups as well. We want to stay united around homeschooling. And though we all have our individual nuances, we want to protect homeschooling rights here in Illinois, because with all that's wrong with Illinois, we have perhaps the very best state in which to homeschool.
That's really what shocked me when I first started looking into it 25, 27 years ago. People would say, is that legal? Can
sure.
you do that? And then I found out we are so blessed that it was incredible. We are considered in Illinois a private school. And so we don't do any documentation when it comes to the government. They don't need to see anything that we're doing. We have all the rights and all the privileges of a private school. We just have to teach in the subjects that are also taught in the public schools, reading, writing, you know, geography and all that. And it was so wonderful to be able to homeschool underneath that kind of privilege.
Well, all you can contribute to, Donna, is the grace of God.
Yeah.
Yes, we work. We work hard. We work with other groups as well, Homeschool Legal Defense out of Virginia. But it is just the grace of God to not have to register, to have freedom in what we do, not have to send in our assignments, our objectives, our yearly goals. And it works. Homeschooling works, and it works very, very well. There's a new study out from the National Home Education Research Institute, which is kind of the George Gallup of the homeschooling community. And our numbers are still like they were 20 years ago when we did our last survey. We're scoring the 70 percentile almost every subject, with the public school, of course, being at the 50 percentile. And the bottom line is homeschooling works, and it works very well. And fortunately, our legislators have recognized that and have shown the wisdom to not just save the public school or save the taxpayers over $1 billion every year. It also allows us to teach according to our personal individual values.
How are we doing in our legislature? Are we still solid when it comes to their understanding of the benefit of homeschooling?
That's a great question, Donna. And if you would have talked to me before 2 months ago, I would say we are just in great shape. However, I was interviewed at Cherry Pie Day back in March by a publication, very liberal, and they cherry-picked my words, and they tried to play. There was a young man who was abused, and their parents, they were already in the DCFS system, but this article portrayed it as a homeschooling problem rather than a DCFS problem. And again, if your audience knows anything about DCFS, especially in Chicagoland, it is a travesty. But instead of dealing with the DCFS, they said, oh, this is a homeschooling problem. These folks homeschooled at the last minute to try to get out from government scrutiny. And so the DCFS lost them in the crack. Well, there's been a representative who read that one article, has made certain assumptions. Now she's starting the conversation, do we need to register homeschoolers? And that came up once again in 2011 when a new freshman senator introduced the same concept, and over 4,500 homeschoolers showed up at the Capitol.
Wow.
And shut it down immediately. And so I'm hoping right now we are addressing this quietly by talking with this representative. But to all homeschoolers, you know, in the Springfield area, all across the state of Illinois, if we need you to come there, we trust to have 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people show up this year to shut any legislation down, not just for this year, but when we show up in mass, it sends a strong message for the next 10 or 15 years, just like it did before.
Absolutely. And when we show up, we pick up all our own garbage. We don't turn over any cars. There's no burning tires.
You Absolutely.
Know. It's the sweetest group. We went to the Cherry Pie Day once, and just so respectful and clean
yes.
cut. It's just a delight to hang out with a bunch of homeschoolers. It was just beautiful. So, yes, I know our family here on WLUJ are listening, and those who are homeschooling, I know, will stand beside you at the Capitol if that is needed.
Well, it was so wonderful back in 2011. I was not on staff with ICHE at the time, but I was there to support. And it was the first time, to my understanding, that they left the doors open to the committee room, because people were on all three sides around the rotunda. But the people were so respectful that they opened the doors for the whole committee meeting. And that, I don't think it ever happened before. So again, well-behaved young people, respectful adults, not yelling with a bullhorn. I mean, you've been down there to the
yeah.
Capitol, Donna. It gets crazy sometimes. Yeah. But we fortunately have a very good rapport with our legislators. They respect us, and we trust that one uninformed, overzealous representative who did not get her facts straight will come to see that, and will allow us to go on as we are, being successful in the homeschooling community.
And we will definitely pray to that end, because we've got a praying, hang on a second, and we will pray to that end because we have a praying group here at WLUJ. Now, when you were growing up, Kirk, I mean, it was a different world. And the world that we're in now, educationally, in the system, I you can't even fathom it. It's out of some weird B-rated movie. It none of it makes any sense. The only sense it makes is that the enemy is trying to make as many mm-hmm. inroads into the educational system and get his message into their minds before his time is over. My sister-in-law, their church, actually rented space to a charter school. And so, you know, church was there, and they would use it on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to put tampons in the boys' bathroom.
Wow.
And the church just said no. And they rescinded the invitation to have that school in that building because their
Good
people would have to go in there on Sunday, and there it would be for all to see. So they took a stand, and now they're putting a Christian school in that space. So
Amen.
All things are working together for good. We have to take a stand. Now, there are people who they cannot make homeschooling work for their family. How would you encourage people who are in the public school system to stay true to their belief system and help their child to maybe overcome the size of the room? You know, if there's 60 kids in a room, their child is not getting individual attention. How
Sure.
can those parents homeschool in home while their child goes to a public school?
Sure. Well, the word that we use at ICHE is home discipleship. We do believe in academic excellence, but for us, it's about character. And to be honest, Donna, while having your kids at public school can add some difficulty, it's about being intentional when you, whether you homeschool or public school or private school, the key is to be intentional. And if your kids go to public school, all of our kids have had some secondary education, college, had some cosmetologists. And so every night when my daughters would come home, we would decompress. We would talk about the day, what was learned, what was saw, how do we deal with this from a biblical worldview. And I would just encourage parents, if you do send your kids to public school or at private school, to spend time to be intentional with decompressing what's happened today. Was this biblical? And we can teach our kids how to interact with the world. And I think that's important even for us homeschooling parents, Donna, that we teach our kids how to live in the real world. We're in the world, we're just not to be of the world. And so I think it's important for us not to circle the wagons and to isolate. Maybe for several years, we use the word insulate, to insulate our kids, to be teaching and training them so when they're 19, 20, going out into the world, they'll be equipped to not just hold their own, but to go forward through the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Soldiers for the cross and being able to love on people. That's what the Lord wants our kids to do. And in so many ways, I see it happening. And I feel like for our kids, the homeschooling experience, it was about them having the time to just get to know themselves in a relaxed setting. I mean, I hope I made it relaxed. You know, I guess I really should be talking to them right now. I'm sure mom was not always relaxed, you know, especially whenever math showed up. That just was, it really was not my strong suit.
We're word people, aren't we, Donna?
I was going to say, language is our, you know, superpower.
Well, and I have heard some of your kids speak, and they are tremendously articulate, and they are tremendously aware of a biblical worldview. And it's hard to get that even in the evenings if your kids are at public school. And that's probably perhaps one of the most important things. You know, if we gain the whole world, if our kids make the Harvard or Yale and they miss eternity, we've missed it all.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage your listening audience, those who are homeschooling, but even those who are public schooling with home discipleship, we got to keep first things first and be intentional about what we are teaching our kids. Because like you said so eloquently, this is a different animal now. It's not like it was in the 60s and 70s when I grew up. We have gone off or getting close to off of a precipice. One of my kids just asked me last night, said, Dad, did you ever think we'd be at this place in our culture 30 years ago? I said, I wouldn't think we were here 10 years ago. But 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about the Holy Spirit restraining evil. And I think, again, God is in charge. It's not Satan up there. It is God who is ruling over with absolute sovereignty. And he is letting things happen according to his timetable. And this is a season of Christian life where we have to be incredibly intentional about what we're teaching our kids, what inputs come into our kids' lives as well, so they can stand in the days that are upon us.
You're talking to a lot of people on our station who are grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so they have raised their children, and now it's that next generation, and their hearts are for these young people. And I've spoken with these grandparents, and so that's another good word to them. Whatever time we have with the grandkids, be intentional, spend that time, and just pour into them, because who knows what they're coming in contact with in their other time.
That's a great vision, Donna. And again, I don't want to get old and rust out. I want to pour my life out for the purpose of Jesus Christ, that this next generation might know. I'm a granddad now. I've got a one-year-old granddaughter.
Wow.
Expecting a sec one, and wow, it is better than I even thought it possibly could be. But what a responsibility, according to Psalm 78, that one generation will teach the next generation to teach the next generation. So that vision that you're sharing, Donna, is so very, very important, because our culture tells grandparents to check out.
Yeah.
You put your time in. But the Bible doesn't say that. And so to the gray head, we need to be honorable. We need to be respectful, but they too must stay engaged in the battle at hand.
And prayer. I mean,
oh.
Grandparents with their arms up, beseeching the Lord on behalf of those grandbabies and their children. I mean, that is such a powerful ministry.
Amen. And I think prayer is everything. Every Christian has their pursuit. For me, it's prayer. Romans 8 talks about the Holy Spirit takes our words and prays for them to Christ with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that means our prayers cannot fail. The only thing that can stop our prayers is if we don't pray. And so for grandparents who maybe have a little bit more time, maybe don't have the physical abilities they used to have, they can still change the world through prayer.
Amen. We may not be able to chase our grandkids physically, but we can chase them in prayer.
Amen.
And trust the Lord. Well, thank you so much, Kirk, for spending time with us. We've been talking with Kirk Smith, the director of the Illinois Christian Home Educators Association Group. And now, Kirk, if someone wanted to access some of your resources, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to our website, Donna, at iche.org. And I'm just a Southern Illinois boy. I just like to talk with people. And my email address is ksmith@iche.org.
Fantastic. Well, this all gets recorded, Kirk, and it sits on our website, so people can always go back in and access our archives and hear you anytime they want. Well, thanks again for being a part of Mark and Friends.
Donna, it's such a delight to talk with you once again, to work with you for the community of Christ.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.